I don't want to say, well, look, we have to sit down and we have today we're going to go into the World Book and we're going to read about Mexico, and tomorrow we'll read about Ireland or Poland or Italy or Scandinavia or the other country. We're going to read one book on one line on one verse, and we're going to dance to the same tune, and that's that we are Mexican Americans. So I just feel very strongly about that. I'm just obviously, but I'm not nationalistic to the point that I'm blind or prejudiced at the exclusion of others. I know this is a melting pot. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not a melting pot. Maybe it's more like a layer cake. And I believe that culturally and ethnically, this is a cultural pluralistic society, not a melting pot. I think everyone in here, we can divide the city by viaducts, railroad crossings, streets, main thoroughfares, main arteries, and say, this is Polish, this is Italian, this is German, this is black, this is a Jewish community, this is a Mexican community, this is a Puerto Rican community, this is in Germantown, this is Andersonville, it's a Swedish community. So I say live and let live, but we can also maintain our own identity.
You'd rather be part of that. You say you are not going to melt and loosen to me. You're
absolutely
going to be part
not.
Of that layer cake.
Absolutely.
Pluralism, I guess. Pluralism.
Absolutely. Once you lose your identity and really your own integrity and direction and your whole psyche, then you're at the whim of anything that occurs in society. You know, I don't want to be a Mexican Fritz Mondale. He wanted to be everything to everybody and wound up nothing to no one. And I don't want to do that. Getting back to the types of Hispanics, you see, I believe that absolutely this country is I call it, there's latent and blatant racism. I think there's the closet racists that give you the conversation, condescending, patronizing, but deep down inside, they really don't want us. That's number one. And number two, the racism that I see is in Chicago, and for that part probably throughout this country. Hispanics are used as a buffer, as a wedge, as a bridge between black and white communities. Show me a black or white community, I'll show an adjacent adjoining Hispanic community that's between both of them.
Mm.
We're kind of like a geographic ping pong ball.
Mm.
And the reasoning is this. Whites let us move into their neighborhood because they've got a choice. We're going to let in blacks or Hispanics. We'll take the lesser of two evils, and they make it seem like they're doing us a big favor.
Bridgeport,
Northwest Side, Southwest Side, East Side, 10th Ward, the old 22nd Ward, Little Village, which was Stenberg and Lillian Petrowski years ago. I mentioned political names because
no,
I'm active politically.
You're going fantastic.
Pilsen, a Bohemian, Polish, Czech, Lithuanian community, etc. Back of the Yards. Okay, so the white person is thinking, well, we've got a choice, one or the other, who are we going to go with? And then the Hispanic, and I call him the dumb Hispanic who moves there, who is not even greeted with open arms, and he doesn't even know why. He thinks it came from God, it was a miracle that they dropped him in and they let him into the neighborhood. The choice was the whites were thinking, black or Mexican, I'll let in the Mexican. Mm. Lesser of two evils. The Hispanic goes there, and he thinks he really did it on his own. He's been accepted now. He's integrating. He's socially, he's moved up the ladder. Well, I tell him, look, dummy, fact of the matter is, the only reason you're here is because right behind us are the black community moving into the area. And they said, look it, we'll use you to hold off blacks, and then when we move, you'll be here to stay, and you'll be the buffer. So it's, you know, they've got us coming and going, all under the illusion and myth that we are accepted. We are not accepted. And I think that this is part of the racism between blacks and Hispanics. First of all, and I talked to some very nationalistic, very black activists, it's just strictly one color. And I understand where they're coming from, and we got no problems with that. I don't have any problems with that. But I asked my question, I asked myself the question, are some blacks capable of racism? And the answer is yes. And I also ask myself, are some Hispanics capable of racism? And the answer is obviously yes. So I think those two extremes are going to have to kind of come together ideologically, philosophically, politically someday and work for some real, real progress, for some real collective, unified, serious coalition building if we're going to live side by side. And then we have to work on what we might call the Hispanic Uncle Toms, who do everything they can to ingratiate and appear bend over backwards to please their racist white neighbor.
Is there a phrase used for that? They say, Uncle Pedro, Uncle Jose.
Tio Taco.
Tio Taco.
Or Tio Tomas. Taco.
Meaning Uncle Tomas.
Uncle Thomas. We say Tio Taco. That's kind of, that's a real, that's even worse than Uncle Tom. That's like a real, right, that's like a real slang. And what I see happening in Chicago in terms of race is we're playing racial leapfrog. And it depends which group hits it first. On the southwest side, if it was the Hispanics or the Arabs or blacks, and then the next group follows, or they're on the border or adjacent, or being, you know, bandied about in terms of, well, where should Hispanics identify themselves with? You don't, first of all, you don't find many Hispanics living in black areas, period. If they do, they're the residual, they're the residue, they're the last ones that left, a la, example, Roseland, out over there in that community. A la, on the near west side, certain pockets of the west side, around Douglas Park, Ogden in California. I know the city like the back of my hand. I've traveled all over. I was a paramedic for 3 years. I was a building inspector for 3 years. And due to those jobs, I crossed all over the city, and I'm a political activist in many political campaigns. I've been all over. So let me just say, and now what we have Hispanic huppies, as they're called, Hispanic urban professionals, yuppies.
Oh, I didn't know. I know the buppies.
Yeah, you've got buppies and you've got huppies living along
the
lake. Huppies, yeah.
Now what about them?
Hush puppies. They're living along the lakefront. They're the junior execs. They're the junior VIPs on the corporate scale. They're the professionals. Here is the irony and the real... It's a real contradiction, a real paradox that Hispanics find themselves in. And blacks do too. And on the one hand, we say, get that degree. Get the education. Improve your standard of living. Make a better life. Have some physical conspicuous consumptions that was the Devlin used to call it about this status thinking and things like that, like Vance Packard talked about. But we're saying, okay, have some of the benefits and rewards of society with your economic success. So that means improving your car, maybe your neighborhood, where you buy your clothes. You don't go to Penny's anymore. You now go to Fields. You now go to Water Tower.